and welcome to Quality of Life Radio, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Quality of Life show. A few weeks ago, we interviewed bestselling author Eva Shaw about her novel, The Seer. It's a really good one. You should get it. But she was telling us how she was donating the proceeds of the book to Days for Girls. And so we're like, well, what's that about? And it turns out this is a really cool nonprofit organization that works internationally, nationally and internationally. And they are all about advancing what they say, menstrual equity. Who's heard of that? Well, now we know. Menstrual equity, health, dignity, and opportunity for all. This is really cool. Their platform is amazing. If you go on their website, daysforgirls.org, you'll see they're all about shattering the stigma of menstruation and transforming periods to pathways. So I was very excited to welcome the founder and CEO, Celeste Mergens. She is the founder. So welcome, Celeste. How are you?
Doing so well. So great to be with you today.
And Nancy and I are excited about this because I want to start at the very beginning of menstruation, because your period, I mean, I remember in high school, like if anything happened, then it was like, this happened to her. And it was also a thing where guys just turned away. Women were embarrassed. So girls were embarrassed about. And I mean, I went to, you know, my menstrual awakening was in South Africa. And so it was a very interesting time back then.
Yeah, that's different.
Even trying to go get products, you're like hiding behind your mom thinking everybody understands what mom does, but
that
not
was
for
the
me.
Worst.
You know,
that was
so
the worst.
And more countries are different of belief systems. And so, yeah, tell us a little bit about what started you on this, because I think even now, there's a lot of us who are shy to even talk about it, or they're going to use it to say, you're having your period, huh? That's why you're being so crabby. So,
right. It really is stigmatized. You can hear that it's stigma around it. And let's be honest, people would rather talk about diarrhea than menstruation. That's ridiculous.
Because diarrhea can be funny and menstruation apparently is not. Apparently we're crabby. And then they, you know, it becomes almost sexist on us in a way.
Well, it is.
Oh, it's totally. It is. It 100% totally. Is. If guys menstruated, there'd be contests over who has the worst cramps. And there definitely is. And all over the world, there's varying degrees of that. And in some places, it's devastating the cost women pay for their periods. And we're not just talking about the expense of period products.
No.
I didn't think to ask the question, what are women doing for their periods? I was even working in development, helping create more self-sustaining community solutions in Kenya. So water and agriculture and healthcare systems and education. And I never thought to ask. And then I was helping an orphanage. There were 1,400 kids because there had been post-election violence and half a million people displaced in 2007 and 8, and that's when Days for Girls started. In helping the orphanage, I was asking the questions we all ask about, is there food, is there water? And it wasn't the reason I was there, but when I passed through town, I would help. And then I learned that they were sitting on pieces of cardboard for days during their period without being able to leave the room and go to class.
Yeah,
I just gasped when I even heard the question, let alone the answer to it, and knew we needed to change that. So we were able to raise funds for the only solution I knew about at the time, which is single-use disposable products. And I did know, however, that if we sent money every month for pads and they needed food, it would go for food. That's the right decision to make if you're choosing where your resources go. So how do we give the girls a solution they could count on month after month? We made the first washable Days for Girls pads, and brought them with us, and also brought education, because when I asked who's teaching them what a period is, they said, no one, you can, which at the time was a terrifying thought. I wasn't yet a world expert in this. And then when we got there, there were 500 girls who needed menstrual pads and solutions, and we had to do it in the education and pass out their Days for Girls kits in two shifts. We call them Days for Girls kits because they give them their days back. Literally, they could leave the room and be part of their community. So as we taught them afterwards, they came up to me, and about 10 of them were standing there and smiling. And one of them said, thank you so much, because before you came, we had to let them use us if we wanted to leave the room and go to class. I was hoping that didn't mean what I feared it meant. And it turned out, trigger alert, that they were being sexually exploited in exchange for a single disposable pad. And that, for me, was the moment Days for Girls was born.
You know, we used to live in Kenya. And when we had housekeepers,
70s one, and 80s, late 70s, early 80s.
One day I look outside and our dogs are all jumping at one of the trees in the backyard. And I look, I'm like, what the heck is hanging from the tree? And there were strips of like a torn up sheet that were covered in blood that I'm like, what the heck is this? And the girl said that Matroba. She said, no, she's advertising for a husband. And it took me a long time to figure out, like, what? You know, and I was like, oh, the pennies start to drop. And I'm like, no, you're not doing that. Take them down. And she was so offended. And I'm like, no, take them down. And the dogs were going crazy. And strange men were stopping at the gate and looking over. And I'm like, well, okay, so you're living in Africa and you don't know all the customs. You never think to ask things like that because it's so foreign that, oh, by the way, do you hang strips in the trees to advertise for men when you have your period? I would never think to ask that. You never
ask. Well, and that is, no. And the truth is, in many cultures, as soon as you start your period, you are considered someone able to be married now. Right. And periods are starting earlier and earlier everywhere in the
Isn't
world.
Isn't that weird?
As young as eight.
Yeah,
right? And
what's up
so
with
imagine
that?
In places like Malawi, so there's a tradition there, another hard-to-hear thing. We're starting out with the hard stuff here. They have a tradition that as soon as you start having your period, you're supposed to be dusted off, it's called. And this dusting off is a ritual cleansing to cleanse you because you started your first period. And you're actually exploited because your period has started, putting you at risk of pregnancy and disease because you need to be purified. And one of the highest rates of child marriage. And it starts with that pivotal moment of starting your period. So now imagine this simple thing that seems so small that we didn't want to talk about. Imagine if now you have what you need, so you're not having to go advertise, because often it is, how do I get pads? How do I stay in class? How do I manage and have my days and the strength of my days? Having something you can count on means you've got that managed. These are lasting, we say 2 to 3 years, but we actually just had our first report of 6 years that the kits are lasting. Imagine.
Wow.
And then imagine that now you know what a period is. You have confidence that you're not cursed, that there's not something wrong with you, that you're not, because it's not just that you're
curse.
Now.
God.
Yes. Curse. Literally. So imagine.
Well, they used
Nepal.
To call it the curse.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My grandmother called
names,
it the
right?
curse. Yeah. My grandmother is from England, and she called it the curse.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's just that. So here we have a kit that actually gives women, like, okay, some kind of dignity. That's what I think what is so great about it is that you have a little bag, and it's and you've got this kit, and it's washable. And I want to touch on all of that. But going back to that stigma of the curse, you know, and you think about women around the world, and then Africa is different, India, you know, just the developing nations. it is so difficult for women, and it starts at a young age. So there's a psychological thing. And I think that's something that is important when a nonprofit organization like yours goes in and says, hey, we care and we're thinking about women. It gives them this little glimmer of hope and also confidence about being that they are somebody, not just
alone,
a piece of meat that gets shifted around to be raped or married off, or because the cultural traditions, I mean, a lot of people want to stick to culture. Oh, this is how we've always done it, but it's not necessarily good for women or for animals or anything, depending on what we're talking about.
Kidding.
But in this case, it's not really good for girls and women. And we've got to stand up for women and girls around the world because they're in such serious states and situations. And it just starts at that young age. And it's almost like a brainwashing. And so when an organization like yours comes in with a solution, I want to go through it because it's really cool how you're helping with the kids and also entrepreneurship. And it's amazing what you're doing. But do you see just even the fact that you're acknowledging their situation, that little bit of hope of, oh, we're somebody?
100%. That's so perceptive of you. Here's why it matters on so many levels. One, if you don't know what your body is doing, everything we associate with blood is illness or injury, right? And if it's believed in your community that it's a bad thing, that you may or may not trigger, you're a woman now, but it's not. For instance, in India, a friend of mine was at a Days for Girls educational. We do education with our products all the time, every time. And she was doing one of those in India while the girls received their kits. And she said she learned that they had just 3 months earlier had a maturation class for both the boys and the girls. She said, that's amazing. What did they teach you? And they said, well, to the boys, they said, your shoulders will widen. You're going to, your voice will deepen. Your muscles will start getting stronger. And then to the girls, they said, and you are about to have an unfortunate liability.
But here's the thing. I mean, I even my mother, I'm like, and my grandmother, they're educated people to a point, not, you know, overly educated, but not undereducated. And even their ideas of what they thought were, to me now when I look back, I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? You can't go swimming whether or not you're wearing the right product. You can't go swimming. Sharks will get you. Sharks will get you even if you're in a swimming pool. You will sink because the water will get into the fibers of the pad and you'll sink even if you're a good swimmer. All these things. And oh my gosh. My brothers, I mean, I'm from a family of six, three boys, three girls. And what the boys thought by the teaching of my mother to us, what they were told and what the girls were told were so out there and so outlandish that when, you know, I'm going to school and I have science class, they talk about it. There's a little bit of sex education, not as much as there is now, but enough to, if you go to the library, you can read up and you can figure it out for yourself. Was so out there. I'm like, okay. I talked to my grandmother. I'm like, you let my mom think this. And my grandmother she wasn't stupid, but she goes, ladies never talk about it. And you should never talk about it to a man, even to the point of don't tell a doctor. And most of the doctors were men. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It is. And it's still here a little bit, which is why having a global movement of saying, what are we afraid of? Without periods, there would be no people.
Exactly.
So it connects every one of us. There's nothing, this is a natural part of being a healthy woman. This is part of being a person that menstruates as a person with a powerful role on this planet.
And exactly.
It's natural. So this is really our message to people all over the world. And here's where it gets powerful. We don't just come in with the education. We make sure that they have it and that they're invited to be ambassadors of health in their community, that they're the ones holding the education to keep it going. And I can tell you, I once was in Uganda and asked a woman what it was like for her being part of Days for Girls. You mentioned there's an entrepreneurial part where we teach them to make Days for Girls kits. And it's a business that they have in their community, fulfilling with organizations and those who want to support Days for Girls that can go towards purchasing kits with enterprises all over the world. And this woman, I was asking, how is it going? How has it changed things for you? What's working? What's not working? They are the ambassadors teaching the education. They are the solution providers there. And she said, in this order, people know who I am and they listen to me. My children can eat every day and they can go to school. I was so surprised by that order. But knowing that people aren't looking down at you, but are listening to you, that you get to be a leader and that you get to be a change maker, we are finding is even more important, or at least as important as having the food you need. Knowing that you can be part of the leadership there, wherever you are, and having a voice is a change maker for women. And it's not always granted to them, especially in some of the places that Days for Girls is most needed.
Well, so you're talking about the difference between existing and living. There's a big difference.
I think so. Right? Isn't that amazing?
I love that you're doing the entrepreneurship. It's like, here, we're doing a business for women, and it's also very difficult in some countries, I can imagine. And so how do you kind of back them up so they're not standing there on their own and as we would say in South Africa, get donored by like the other side going like, you know, because so just in some countries, you know, women are so you're second class and forced to be very subservient. Much. And so when a woman is going, here, I'm going to be entrepreneurial and do this, I'm going to stand up, they could be the only one. From what I was looking, it looks like maybe that's part of where you go and start working with the governments locally or, you know, the bigger national, you know, because they do need that backup. They can't be the only ones because it won't. I don't know. It just depends, right? On the woman, it depends on their strength.
It really does.
Listen, I know that in South Africa, we had the Shebeens. And if you wanted liquor after like midnight, you could go to the Shebeen, even though it was illegal and it was no-no, and the women ran them. So I know the women will have an underground network. I do know that. Somehow they will have it.
Well, they were better at math.
Yeah.
They were. They were better at money than the men. Sorry, but it's true.
Depending.
I have found women go through so much. They are incredibly resilient and can make things happen. And you're right. I, when this first started, thought of them as Avon ladies, only with menstrual care. But the truth is, we were really asking them to be the chemist to make the pads or the lipstick, if you will, put it in the tube, then go out and sell it, and then remember to retain some so you could make more, right? It was a really difficult formula. So today, there's education about business. There has to be education about confidence in leadership. There has to be education about savings. There has to be education. So it's about how to make them and maintain quality and why quality matters. It really is complex to make sure that all the tools she needs are in place. And Days for Girls volunteers are mentors for enterprises. And we have a leadership team. That's what Days for Girls International is, to coordinate all of the volunteers around the globe who are part of making kits for refugee camps, for instance. This year, over 40,000 for refugees all over the world, making sure the education comes with these and supporting enterprises. Those volunteers, along with the enterprise leaders and the program all over the world, is what Days for Girls International supports.
That's amazing. I love this. It's girl power, man. I love it. Yeah, and I love seeing the photos of faces. Everyone's lit up in their face, you know, that resilience too. Of once you know, okay, I got something on my side and something is I can do something, you know. I it's so mm-hmm. exciting. And I love that you're putting the entrepreneur side in there, because I think when money starts flowing, that's when the other side start going, oh, maybe I got to look at this. You know, I go back to mm-hmm. even when we lived in Kenya and we moved over there when I was a, you know, tiny child, and Nancy's like one suitcase was full of Tampax.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and I'm like, you know, we have all these things. No, it's Tampax going over. So oh, think about no. this.
The silver bullet story.
No, but this is the mid to like end of, I was going to say 77, 78.
Oh, that's
and,
funny.
She used to take tours over to Kenya. And so whenever, you know, you needed something, if you went in, you had to go into the Indian market mm-hmm. and they bargain. Would pinch your butt and bargain. You had to spend a day bargaining over Tampax, which would yeah. cost you a fortune.
$35 to $40 a box, unless yeah. you bargained. And yeah. it was mm-hmm. so degrading.
Yeah. And they knew you bargain. Needed it. They knew you
and
needed
they, it. And they used to say, only white women need these.
Exactly.
And that was so bizarre. And I was like, yeah, well, I go and I'm like, okay, well, what are they doing that I'm not doing, you know? And then you'd end up back at the market and you're like, okay, $35 a box. So I brought a suitcase full of them over. And I mean, a whole, you know, I'm like, oh, this is going to give me a few years to get used to this system, right? And then we got robbed. And the robbers came in and they opened every box and every little tampon package and left them scattered on the floor. Then the police oh. came in and dusted them with powder for fingerprints. Oh. And this one policeman held it up and goes, oh, but madam, what is this? And he's swinging it by the string. And I was like, oh, I think I want to go home.
But it was and oh, that is funny. Awful.
But that just shows where.
So we just call that the silver bullet because yeah, they dusted because, it with silver powder.
Yeah,
and fingerprints.
So, Nancy like, told him oh she uses God. It to put makeup on.
Yeah,
because like, how do you explain this now to an African gentleman who doesn't understand? Like their wives and their daughters aren't getting.
So it's for putting makeup on.
So if a white woman comes over and that's what they're going through, what were the women going through, the black women? South Africa was a lot better. However, yeah. I've also read reports and listened to reports about France getting nailed with, and also because women are getting taxed just in general on tampons mm-hmm. and pads and, you know, any period products being a luxury item. Is that something?
Oh my gosh.
True. So you can join the Days for Girls advocacy team and volunteer to help wherever you live on abolishing those luxury tax. Because how ridiculous is that? You can get all sorts of things but that is a luxury tax. And people need to be able to use the equivalent of food stamps for that product too. And that's not the case yet. So
really?
Oh my really,
gosh.
Really? Even here in the United States,
oh,
really.
My,
people
really?
End up, yes, we got a call from community and schools
no
in New
way.
Orleans, and they said, we need it here. They needed 2,800 girls were having to use toilet tissue, use paper towels, or just wash, the nurse would help them wash out their uniform, turn it around, and head back home and not come back until their period stopped in New Orleans. So everywhere people need to know about their washable pads, their menstrual cups. Days for Girls also provides menstrual cups to those who can do it. And those last up to 10 years. It's really important to know there are lots of alternatives. And all over the world, women use things like rags, like you said, which don't have a way to secure them often. They can chafe, they can fall out, they can twirl, they can be uncomfortable, they can worry. Most
safety
worry about
pants.
Sitting
some
down.
Cultures aren't wearing panties.
Yeah, okay, yeah so exactly.
That's another thing,
correct.
Right? Some cultures of women are not wearing panties. Like you could straddle tissue or what. I mean, and we've all been there as women at
help. You're not supposed to be here yet, but here
panties,
you are.
Hopefully. I don't know if you've, I don't know how the girls in thongs do it, but if you're in trouble, I was going to say
safety pins. Women should always carry safety pins.
But there's when you think about the different cultures that don't wear certain things, that you know, it's you. Yeah, I can only just that's so hard. And so, what I'm very fascinated about what you're doing with these pads. Because looking at the kit, you do give them panties, you do give them instructions and education, but being washable, I wanted to go into this because I find this very fascinating.
Yeah.
And I'm going to think that some people immediately are going to go, oh, washable, it won't be sanitary. Well, let's go into what we do with kids' diapers, babies' diapers. These disposables are not necessarily good for the body and not good for the environment. So I'm very interested in what you're doing in this washable side on that level too, because the more trash that goes out there, and we're talking about trash that really is not necessarily positive for the environment, so this to me looks
harsh chemicals. Right, because they have chemicals in them.
Yeah,
actually, even from the first we discovered that the disposable products I had brought that first time, when we got there 3.5 weeks later, were there's no place to dispose of them. So they were littered in chain link fences and up on posts and in a pile at the end of the latrines, and the latrines were clogged with them because there is no way. So it becomes, in the Philippines, Days for Girls is very desirable because there's no way, and being able to manage something without all that trash is so desirable. So it is environmentally not chemicals. Some women have reported fewer cramps using washable products. So it's interesting. We all prefer different products, and washables is such a comfortable and viable solution that I'm so grateful for.
Wow.
You know, we interviewed a Dr. Perlingeri.
Dr. Perlingeri.
And she was talking about
she was a urologist.
Yeah, and she was talking about the chemicals and things, ingredients used to make pads, and half of them were cancer causing.
She said tampons, don't be careful.
Yeah.
Like anything like that, you need to watch out.
Yeah, and so, out. You know, we're like, oh my gosh, no matter where you turn, you need the product, you need something. But then, oh, now we're going to manufacture these and they're cancer causing. And then it's like, you know,
I think your generation was cancer causing.
But, Nancy, you know, it's crazy to me. We can have all these other products that are not totally necessary, but we want them and we like them. You know, we can make baseball bats. We can make basketballs. We can make all these things. But when it comes to what you actually really need to be healthy becomes a big, huge problem. So, you know, you're like, okay, so the emphasis on manufacturing, is it because it was there's a stigma attached to it, or there's not enough money in it? Because I would think that that's a product that women in the world need and will always need, that there's money in it. I don't know. Just trying to figure out why.
I'm really glad there are more organic solutions now, and there is more crossing over to using products that last longer and more healthy. I do think that's part of the grazing awareness and our willingness to speak about it more and bring it up. I think the movement of each of us talking about it and seeing what works for us is really important. And also talking about those in the world who have it far worse. Did you know that in Nepal, particularly Western Nepal, women, when they're on their periods, and girls, are isolated in sheds or platforms or under the house.
Seriously?
They're considered that you're untouchable, and that when you're on your period, you'll cause trauma and difficulty and ill fate to your family, that someone could die or the livestock could stop.
Do you know how that can affect a girl? A young girl? That's scary for a young girl to think they have that.
Exactly. So they literally can die of snake bites or exposures. This is Nepal. Mm-hmm. So you literally can be lose your life because you're on your period. And you might think that, why does their family let them do this? It's been against the law since 2005. It's been a finable offense since the end of 2018. So why does it go on? Mm-hmm. But the truth is, if you and I thought something we did could harm our families, no law could keep us from protecting them. They That's know right. there's risk. What they don't know is what a period really is. And so when you give women, you can come in and you can shame them and you can demand that the law make it stop. But the truth is, as soon as something bad happens, it just comes back. If instead you say, guess what? Without periods, there would be no people. Your body is amazing. And here's something you can manage it with. I've actually sat with several Hindi pundits and leaders in a place that has chapati. This is what the practice is called. And as we sat there, we were able to say, what if you kept your rich tradition, but instead of isolating them, you ritually cleanse this pad? Could that work for you? And as we taught the education, this is what we will teach. Many in the room were learning it for the first time. Like, this is what a period is. This is what we're going to teach. And then they approved it for like a half hour, went on, yes, this is how we could do it instead. And then the women went and had women's circles to invite people to learn what a period is, to make a new decision and practice chapati in another way. And Days for Girls has reached just under 20,000 women and girls, freeing them from the sheds in just the last few years. And that's the power of a good solution, community-driven, and breaking the chain of stigma that just is attached to what you've been sharing, that if we don't know better, we can't do better.
Yeah.
And we're a generation that is learning to take menstruation on, and there will be a day that there won't be the stigma around our planet. And that's what we're working for. And it's something we can achieve in our lifetime.
I love that.
That's what I love.
I really, really love what you're doing, because I think, you know, the education component, and it's very hard to get your foot in the door to do that in the different countries and different
belief system,
especially for women. And I think what you're doing is amazing, because it does take, it's just not an, oh, everybody hears the law, let's abide by it. It's the same thing with climate change. Okay, everybody stop doing plastic straws. Okay, now we have a big drama. Yes, you know, you can use, you know, it's
historically, there's a whole bunch of myths about menstruation, you know, going back to the 1400s, 1500s, and, you know, because because men were in control back then, and it was something they couldn't understand or explain, and I think it scared them.
People believe it can be scary to people.
And so there's a whole lot of myths of what happens if you touch the blood, and this happens, that. There's a whole bunch of really mythical things that people were told. And it takes a long time for that kind of stuff to be replaced with knowledge. Especially when it's a taboo. Like even the word taboo comes from women having their period. Did you know that?
You're right. It's absolutely true.
It's like,
isn't that amazing?
It's crazy. Nancy got all stuck in this the other day. She's
I know,
like,
because
did you know? And I'm like, dude, this sucks.
I know. It's like, that's taboo. Oh, you're having your period.
I know. It's like, oh, that's happening down there. Really? I have a taboo. It sounds like we're having a whole orchestra going on. But, you know, I wanted to ask, how many countries are you in now? And how can we all help? Some, I know a lot of people can donate and, you know, but just actually the education, where can we begin? Even just as someone who's listening now going, I had no idea, like even maybe in a situation right now that, you know, they could be at this. Listen, we travel the country full time, and I'm going to guarantee you there is a huge part of this country that doesn't have the help they need. The women, we've seen things and there's true. We have some interesting off-the-grid communities where you wonder what happens to the women. I'm not kidding. Nancy and I should photograph and whatever, but there's some areas really need help. Like you're saying, New Orleans of all places, you would think, you know, it's a city, you know. Tell us about like how far have you gone with this and where can we all help? Because now we're all like riled up.
Let's do this. Days for Girls has reached, get ready for this. This is how global this issue is. We've reached 144 countries on 6 continents. That's awesome. How global it is. Right.
That's
where
amazing.
You are, wherever you live in this world, there's the need for good projects and education. Yes, and get ready for this. We just reached, just a couple weeks ago, hit the milestone, 2.4 million women and girls reached. So,
cool.
And people
That's
with periods having
no
what they
awesome.
Need.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful to see that something that is so simple and direct can create such good shifts in confidence, in awareness, in freedom, in dignity, and in health, and opportunity for women and girls to live the fullness of their days and do it with confidence. And you can help by passing the word. We have videos on our website that are so beautifully done where you can hear the girls and hear the communities and see beautiful locations all over the world where they're sharing their stories and learn more of what we do and share those with others. You can follow us on social media and hear more of what is happening around the globe to shift the stigma to opportunity. And then you can also donate and contribute to Days for Girls and watch what's happening as this happens. You can volunteer with the Days for Girls chapter or team that also is on our website. And you could be part of our advocacy movement where you can know what's happening in your community in regards to addressing the tampon or pad taxes where you live and be part of the movement for that as well. There's so many ways to help. And most of all, you are challenged to do the impossible. Talk to complete strangers and or family about, hey, did you know this is an issue? And check out Days for Girls. This is something we can change.
I like daysforgirls.org. I love the name too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How did you come up with
Thank
that
you.
One? Just it is. It's like, you know, you shouldn't be in a shed underneath the house.
Yeah, really.
It's like you should be
seriously
pampered at that time, I think, you know.
Yeah, you can have your strength back. Exactly. That's what happened. We were talking about what should it be called as we were hearing the first reports of how much this is needed. We recognized this wasn't going to be a one-time thing, that we needed to get behind it. And we were talking about what could it be called. And we thought of dignity, wings, period, all these things. And then what does it give them? And then we came back to days. It literally is giving them back their days. And we're not telling them how to use it. We're just saying, go, have your strength back. And use it in the way you will.
I love that.
It's
because
a powerful thing.
I want to say this too, because, you know, just living in different places and seeing what happens and being on the other side of the coin too. When, you know, coming back to this country was and we've lived in different places and you have a culture shock kind of living there, right? When you're a tourist, it's a little different, but when you live there, it's like, okay,
it's a
how
whole
am I going to make
world.
This work, you know? And the biggest culture shock was coming back to this country for me. You know, I was in 19 and I was like, what the heck? We have all these things on the shelf. And then learning, like having been in the other side and living in both countries, you know, South Africa and Kenya, and how, you know, foreign aid would come in. And you'd see, oh, we're dropping this food and this relief and drop, you know, all sounds really great, right? And knowing, then learning a little bit more being over here, that what food we were giving over was not, it was basically genetically modified food. It was Monsanto products. It was all these things that were not actually positive. It's like, we're going to look good by doing this, but it's kind of it's the bottom grade. It's not really going to do that much. You're actually harming more. And so most organizations, I would say, that would be, hey, women have a problem over there. would be the first thing they would do is give all the cancer causing products over and make themselves look good. You know what I mean? So I really have to say this because it happens. It happens. And
Nestle products.
And
Nestle products.
We shouldn't even be naming all those things.
But it's during kind the of this, during the 70s, that Nestle products were when people started investigating cancer-causing chemicals in our food, and they got labeled with it, whether it's true or not, not going there. But Africa got that everything was offloaded in Africa.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that the things were, it was like a fake Band-Aid. Instead of a fix that actually went from, like we were talking about earlier, surviving to thriving and or living even, you know, let's get to the middle ground of living. And so being on the other side, Nancy, I've seen a lot of bad stuff that we shouldn't have. And I'm glad we have those. So we know, and I know you have with all the traveling you've done around the world and the work you've done, which has been amazing. But to come in with a true fix that is healthy and something that can outlast, like last, like you're saying, the cups, the menstrual cups, the something that's washable. I think it is. It kudos to you for that, and thank you, because we've seen the other side, and it sucks what happens. And everybody thinks this is glorious and beautiful, supports it, and the money's going to the wrong place half of the time, instead of these kind of movements, and that you're empowering people to, you know, create a business for themselves and help them do it. I love that. And also change that conversation and that dialogue, so women don't feel like they have to hide their head with their periods. I mean, even now to this day, I know young girls, they have their period, they're shy about it. Oh, don't ask your husband to go get a box of whatever.
Oh, no,
oh my God. You know, so we still have that stigma here in the United States. How are we going to get it to the rest of the world? And you're doing the hard side of it. So really, thank you for that, for doing it truly with integrity. That's hard to find. So thank you for that.
It's our pleasure. It's really a joy to know there's something we can change in this world, right? There's so many things that are hard to change. So many things that are hard to hear and hard to know about. And the consequences women and girls face are difficult and are hard to hear about. And this part of having what they need in the education to reverse cycles of violence against women and that feeling of being less than, this part, this is something we can change. And that wakes me up early in the morning, excited to get started again.
We can
do this. And I'm so glad you've included Days for Girls in your conversation so that more people will know about it and join in.
We got to thank Eva Shaw, the author. She connected us. And I'm like, I know. And she just like that day, she's like, no, I'm doing it. And I'm like, oh, I love this. This is so awesome. So thank you, Eva. Everyone, you know, follow her at Eva.
And
Eva
her great
Shaw.
Book, too.
Yeah, great. It is the Seer, New Orleans, huh? It's set in New Orleans, World War II with a psychic and, you know, a Chinese medicine man. Thanks. Everyone, check it out. But daysforgirls.org is a website to go to. We want to thank our sponsor, Dr. Jackie. You know, you all hear on Big Blend Radio, Dr. Jacqueline Ubani. She is a cardiologist, electrophysiologist, and author of the best-selling book, Women and Heart Disease, A Real Story. She is on a classic drive to teach women in America about heart disease, because it is the number one killer of women in the United States. And so she says, silence is one of the most deadly aspects of women's heart disease. Same thing as what we're talking about with Days of Girls, you know, of Days for Girls. Silence sucks. We've got to have these conversations. And so she's really about women's empowerment of health. And I know that means girls too. So keep up with Dr. Jackie at Women and Heart Disease, thebook.com, or Women and Heart Disease, book.com, excuse me. And keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Most importantly, daysforgirls.org. Thank you so much, Celeste, for joining us.
That's awesome.
My pleasure.
Thank you.